This is Larry Bellotta. Gotten the invitation from Beate. Set up three sessions. One this morning at 9 o'clock, and one tonight at 6 o'clock, and then one tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And my intention is for these three sessions is that on the session for this morning, I want to give you an explanation because I have 20 questions on the midlife crisis. And rather than going into each question like it's a standalone individual question that's disconnected from everything else, I want to lay out a groundwork for you for what do all these things have in common? How is it that all these questions could be answered with one common theme, which really has to do with your state of mind and your emotional condition? You'd think, well, gee, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with my midlife crisis guy, and he's got a problem. And that's the way we start. We start thinking that he's got a problem. He's out there, and I'm over here, and he's the one with the problem, and I don't have the problem. That's where we start. I want you to get your mind open to a different idea. If you can look at your screen, you see I've put a diagram up. I'm going to be explaining that diagram this morning. And then there is, in the handouts section, there's a document there. That's called the Group How-To Manual. And then there's also a little graphic of this picture that you see on the screen. Download that also. So I'm giving you something to read after this call. So that's about 12 pages. And it's just going to explain what I'm going to say this morning. When you start to control your own mind, you are what I call an environment changer. You change the environment of your mind. When you're not controlling your own mind, you are a pinball. What is a pinball? That's a human being that's constantly bouncing off the stimulations of everything in the world. Every noise, every sound, every event, every piece of news, everything disturbs the pinball. Everything. The pinball believes that everything matters, everything counts, and everything's important, and everything's irritating. And that's the way the pinball lives. So you are either a pinball or you are an environment changer. An environment changer changes the way you see the world. And a pinball reacts to the world. It's a good, simple way to think of the difference between an environment changer and a pinball. So a pinball does not have a foundation. A pinball is rolling all the time. That means the pinball is always moving between one stimulation and another. And when you have a midlife crisis man, you are really rolling because the midlife crisis man is always producing something to bounce into. And there's always something to disturb you as a pinball. So I'm giving you this morning a plan. And the plan is to understand what hundreds of psychologists and therapists and self-help book writers have been trying to say to us for years and years and years. And authors for years back have always trying to saying to us, what are they trying to tell us? They're trying to tell us that our mind is making the world. That's what they're trying to tell us. But we don't know what our mind is. What are they talking about? What is our mind? Well, we don't know what our mind is. We don't know. And so what I want to do is I want to explain this morning, what is the mind and how do you steer the environment of your mind? And when you do steer the environment of your mind, what happens to the characters in your world? What happens to your midlife crisis man? So we're going to start by explaining this little picture, because the picture is using physical things to illustrate spiritual ideas, because these are spiritual ideas. And when you are managing things in the spirit realm, in the realm of the mind, you're actually managing things in the world, because the world is nothing but the product of what happens in the mind. So I read all the questions. And what I see from all the questions is everybody here is deeply connected to the physical world and clearly reacting to the physical world, talking about the physical world. He did this, and what is the origin of that? And why did this happen? And what do I do with, and what do I do how, and what do I do when? They're all very physical world questions. And you're not going to get any answers in the physical world. The physical world doesn't have any answers because the physical world is controlled by the mind. And if you don't understand what the mind is, you're not going to be able to control the mind because you don't know what it is. I've been chasing this idea for probably 20 years, and now I have a clear explanation after 20 years. And so I'm going to give you that clear explanation. So right now, that's what we're doing here on our little 45-minute call. And then tonight, I'll be getting in based on this information. And what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to read the document. It's called the Group How-To Manual, between now and then, if you can. And then I'll be able to get into the questions, and I'll be referring a lot. Here's what we're looking at. We're looking at a picture of five minds. Five minds. So we thought we had one mind. We don't have one mind. There are five minds. And so I'm going to explain the five minds. And so the first mind is what we see down there. It says the conscious mind. And above the conscious mind, it says the pursuit of happiness, and there's a little smiley face. So that is the home of the conscious mind. What is the conscious mind? The conscious mind is you. It's what you know as yourself. When you go to a party and you see people, it's your conscious mind that's talking to them, telling you about your opinions and your ideas and what you believe and what you like. That's your conscious mind at work. Your conscious mind's mission is to pursue happiness. They put it right in the Constitution, the pursuit of happiness. So that's what the conscious mind is all about, the pursuit of happiness. What we're going to do now is we're going to position you as the conscious mind living in a town called the pursuit of happiness. And in that town, that's where you live as the conscious mind. And so you live in a little building there. And so what you do is you go into the center of the town square there, and there's a tunnel, which is like a subway tunnel. And what you're going to be doing is you're going to be going down from the conscious mind, down a tunnel to reach the subconscious mind. And that's that big band shell there that you see, the subconscious mind, the implementer of all things. So what you're going to do is you're going to go down the stairs, and you're going to start walking down this tunnel. And as you're walking, the tunnel is going to get bigger and bigger, taller and taller, wider and wider. And as you finally enter the subconscious mind, it's 5,000 feet wide and 1,000 feet tall. So imagine you're entering this vast opening. And what you see in that opening is the vastness of space, the nebula and the gases and the stars and galaxies. And so that's an image of the mind that runs the world, right? So this is called the subconscious mind. What we're doing is we're going to go into this big space where the subconscious mind entry is. And rather than doing anything about that, we're going to follow the path of that dotted line. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to enter the tent. Now, the tent is the place where the group is. We have two minds so far. We have the conscious mind, and we have this great and vast subconscious mind. And so we're going to follow the line from the conscious mind's town to the tent over there on the left. And in the tent, there are three characters in there, three minds. The first one is the mind of the child, the inner child. And this is you at 6 years old. You never grow up. You're always 6 years old. Then the mind of your parents, your mother and your father. And then the mind of what says Freddy there. What Freddy is the image of the ego. And the ego, everybody knows about the ego. The ego has been written about for centuries. And so all the dark, attacking, against energy things of the ego. And so I use Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street because he's more visual. Freddy from Nightmare on Elm Street, the movie, I got that actually from the creator of the character, Wes Craven. Wes Craven said, if you could put all the evil in the world into a body, it would look and act like Freddy. So that's why I use Freddy. So Freddy is in charge of attack, right? So the child is in charge of fear, the parent's in charge of judgment, and Freddy is in charge of attack. So these are the three minds that we don't think about and we don't know anything about and we don't address and we don't know how to talk to. So what we're going to do in this process, and you're going to, when you read the handouts, when you read the document called the How-To Group Manual, you will learn all about this because it's all explained there. So, but I'm just going to give you a quick explanation here, because what you're going to do is you're going to calm the group. You're going to calm the group that makes your world suffer. The group makes the world a place of suffering. So what happens is you start with the child. And so the first thing you do with the child is you kneel down with your inner child who is 6 years old, and it's you. It's you at 6 years old. That's right. It's you as never grows up. And so you sit down and you take care of the child because your mission is to calm the child and make the child feel like you care. And you say, everything's going to be all right. Everything's taken care of. I'm taking care of everything out here. You don't have anything out here to worry about. Everything's going to be okay. And you're speaking as the leader of minds. That's what you are, the leader of minds. You say to the child, everything's going to be all right. And then you give the child something to do. And so you make up something to do. So you say, I want you to go to the fair and ride on the rides and get an ice cream cone. And then I want you to go with your friends swimming tonight. And you're going to have a really wonderful day. And so that's what the inner child is hearing. Reassurance and calm and safety from you. You are the leader of minds. So then you get up from your child, and then you walk over to your parents. This is a tent that's 200 feet wide. It's a very big tent. And then you walk over to your parents, and you say, Mom, Dad, thank you for getting me here. Thank you for getting me this far. Thanks for all you've done. And so you start with the parents with a thank you message. Thanks for all you've done. And then you say, but I'll take it from here. And when you say, but I'll take it from here, then you hand them two tickets to a month-long cruise in the South Seas. And you do that because you want to give the parents something to do. You want to give them something to do. And so you give you see yourself giving the parents tickets to a South Sea cruise. And then you get up from the parents and you walk over to Freddie. Now, Freddie is an edgy character. What you say to Freddie, thank you for protecting me all these years. And you say that because that's what Freddie thinks he did. The ego thinks he protected you. And so you say to Freddie, thank you for protecting me all these years, but I'll take it from here. So what are you saying to the parents and to Freddie? I'll take it from here. I'm the leader of minds. This is the life I'm running. And then you say to Freddie, I'm taking away all your against energy. I'm taking away all your against energy. And I'm going to start by telling you that I'm against nothing and I'm against no one. Now, that's the key to an environment changer's lifestyle. I'm against nothing and I'm against no one. Why is that? Because Freddie is the author of against energy. Against energy, I'm mad at things. I'm ticked off by things. I'm irritated by things. I'm frustrated by things. Things make me mad. That's all against energy. And it all comes from Freddie. All comes from the ego. So together, the child, fear, the parents' judgment, and Freddie attack. Between the three of those minds, you have all the suffering that you can ever possibly imagine. All the relationship failure, all the financial failure, all the health failure, all the failures of projects and great things that you want to do, all the things are destroyed by the group. The group is the one entity that makes everything you want disappear. So you have a midlife crisis man. Why do you have a midlife crisis man? Because the group brings the midlife crisis man into your world. Why do you have struggles with everything from self-image to worry to anxiousness to doubt to fear? Why are all these things happening? Because the group is getting it done. The group are minds, and they're literally minds like three children. They're three children, and what they believe is they have the solution to everything in your world. They think they can fix everything in your world. But what they do is they destroy the world to fix the world because they don't know what else to do. So they need a leader. And what you are as the conscious mind is you are the leader of minds. And so this is the phrase you want to write down. I am the leader of minds, dot, dot, dot. This is what we're going to do. Now that phrase, I am the leader of minds, dot, dot, dot. This is what we're going to do. That's a phrase that you repeat to yourself again and again, day after day after day. I am the leader of minds. This is what we're going to do. Well, who are you talking to? You're talking to your inner child. You're talking to your parents. And you're talking to your Freddie. They are the minds that make everything happen in the world that you don't want. If you don't want it, it came from them. So they're in the tent. And they're in that tent because that's where they're hiding. They're hiding in the tent because they don't want to be seen. And so that's really important that we have a tent there because we have to have a place where you can go and find them. And what are you doing in that tent again? You are calming the group. You are not mad at the group. You're not punishing the group. There is no punishment. There is no anger. There is no resentment. When you do this calming, you know what you're doing. You're actually conducting what I call the route, and you'll read about that in the document called the Group How-To Manual. The group needs to be calmed every single morning. Every single morning. And so the routine is always the same. Calm the child, give the child something to do. Calm the parents, thank the parents, give the parents something to do. calm Freddie, thank Freddie, give Freddie something to do. I like to send Freddie to Las Vegas. Right? That's the place Freddie would go. This is called calming the group, and it's the first step in your process of entering the subconscious mind. So then you leave the tent as the leader of minds, and you walk across all the way there to what says your higher self. And your higher self is under a tent that's open. It's an open tent. And what that what's under there is a ball of light, a big glowing ball of light. And this is your higher self. And what this does in the route, because this is the route, right? Because first stop is to group tent, and then the second stop is to your higher self. Now, you may have not thought to talk to your higher self, but your higher self is really your divine nature. It's the closest thing you are to heaven. Your higher self knows everything about your life and is always guiding you, but you're not always listening. Why are you not listening to your higher self? Because your group is so invasive and so loud that you don't listen. You just literally tune out your higher self and you don't hear it. So the higher self is the tent you're walking to next. So you cross this long 5,000-foot expanse here. And as you're walking, you're going to be using the words of elevated emotions. Use the words of elevated emotions, because what are words? Words are energy containers that hold energy. And so when you say words like inspired, gratitude, and thankfulness, and I give you a list of the words in the document called the Group How-To Manual. So as you're walking across, you say all the words that raise your emotion. It elevates your emotion. And what are you doing this for? You're doing it because your brain waves, which are in beta brain waves, this is the brain waves that we have when we're living in the world and reacting to the world in space and time, and we're connected to it. Beta brain waves are required. But then what we want to do is we want to raise our frequency to alpha brain waves and then to theta brain waves, if we can. And so what we're doing is we're saying the words to raise us up to theta brainwaves. That's why we're saying these phrases like inspired, thankfulness, and love, and joy. And all these raise our frequency. And we're doing that as we're approaching the tent of your higher self. And as you stand and finally in front of that ball of light, you're going to make the statement. It's a kind of a question slash statement, which is, show me the way. Show me the way. That is the question your higher self has always wanted you to slow down enough to ask. Show me the way. And so every morning when you do this step, you're going to get raise your frequency, and you're going to get to the higher mind and you're of your higher self, and then you're going to say, show me the way. So you're going to say this some days, and it's going to be, show me the way, and you're not going to hear anything. And then you're going to say, show me the way, you know, once, twice, three times. And if you don't hear anything, that's okay, because your higher self is going to get to you, because you've literally given the invitation to your higher self, show me the way. And so show me the way is what's going to happen. It may not happen at that moment. The way is going to come to you. It's going to dawn on you. It's going to be revealed to you. You're just going to know. I just know that I know I'm going to know the way. And so you just have the faith when you say, show me the way, that the way will be found. It will come to you. Well, then you walk away from the, follow that dotted line, away from the tent. And where's it going now? It's going to the center of the subconscious mind. And there's a little stage there. And so you walk to that stage and you stand there, and you are now in front of the subconscious mind. And this is the mind that makes the world, because the mind makes everything. But what is the mind? It is the vast subconscious mind that we cannot comprehend. It is beyond space and beyond time. It is the mind that makes the world. See, there, this is either a real world or it's a projected world. It's either a real world that is all right here and everything is separate, where everything's separate. You're separate from me, I'm separate from you. You're separate this and you're separate that, and you're a separate personality and I'm separate personality, separate gender, and all this separation, that's the real world. It's a real world, or it's a projected world. What is a projected world? It's a world projected by one mind, the subconscious mind. That's the world that's made by the subconscious mind. If it's a projected world, that means that everything's coming from one mind. everything is coming from one mind. And it's all showing up in here in this illusion that we think is a real world. So the quantum physicists, they did an amazing thing. They found that looking into the atom, that the atom is 99.9% empty. It's empty. And you see, we thought it would be full of matter. Matter is electrons. Electrons are matter. And so when they go in, this, electrons are little subatomic particles. So in the atom is the subatomic particle of the electron. But they found out that only 1% of the atom is made of electrons. Only 1% made of electrons. And so electrons, being matter, is only 1%. So what's the rest? What's the 99.9%? It's frequencies. Frequencies. Frequencies are what make this world. Frequencies are what make this world. So when there are frequencies, the mind, the subconscious mind, can make a world any way it wants because it's controlling the atom. Because the atom is not matter, the atom is frequencies. And the mind controls frequencies. And so it can make anything it wants. It can make hummingbirds. It can make whales. It can make water. It can make air. It can make everything because it controls the atom with frequencies. Because frequencies are not matter. Because if it was matter, then we'd have a real world. We'd have a world made of solidness. But it's not a solid world because the atom is made of frequencies. Frequencies. Wow. What are frequencies? Well, you get a text message on your cell phone. How's that happen? It happens because of frequencies. You watch a television show. How's that happen? It's because of frequencies. So frequencies, billions and billions and billions of frequencies. So atoms are frequencies. They are not matter. So that's what you're looking at when you're looking at the world. You're looking at a world made by a mind that is controlling the frequencies of atoms. I'm saying this to give you a little more explanation there in the document, the how-to group manual, because I want you to get into the science of this, because something has to get you to line up with why is this true? Why is this not a real world made of matter, but a world of frequencies, a world made by the mind? Because if it's a world by the mind, and you have three minds that you don't know anything about, three minds that you don't know how to move or steer or influence at all. Instead, they are influencing you. They are making your world. The child, the parents, and the Freddy are making the world that you have to live in. And it's chaotic and painful and difficult. And there's a lot of loss in it. Why? Because these three entities are the rest of the mind. But if you can become, as a conscious mind, the pursuer of happiness, if you can become the one who pursues happiness and manage the group as the leader of the minds, then with the help and the assistance of your higher self, which is your higher mind, if we think of chakras, in the ancient explanation of chakras, there's seven chakras in the body, and then there's an eighth chakra that's above the head. That eighth chakra is saying, there is a mind above you. There is a mind above you that you should hear, that you should listen to. And so that's an illustration of your higher self. Your higher self is that higher mind. So your higher mind is going to help the conscious mind to manage the group, to guide the group. And so when you've managed the group by calming them down and securing them and stabilizing them, and then you go over to your assistant, that mind that helps you, your higher self, and then you finally go over to that little stage there in the center of the subconscious mind. What are you doing? In essence, here's what you're doing. You're saying, hey, me and my higher self have been talking, and we agree that this is the kind of world we want. We want a world where Bill comes into his right mind and realizes the path he's on is painful, finally finds some peace of mind. We agree that this is the world we want. So what you're doing, you have to understand that the subconscious mind does not speak in words and doesn't have a personality. It's not like you, the conscious mind. You speak in words. You have personality. But the subconscious mind does not. It does not have a personality and it does not speak in words. What it speaks in is emotion, like urges needs and longings. It feels things. The subconscious mind feels things. You'll see in my instruction that I've got in my document, the how-to group manual, that when you speak to the subconscious mind on that little stage, you have a little phrase, just a teeny little phrase that you make up that makes you feel really good. And when you say that little phrase, you are feeling then, it's like the flint that starts the fire. This little phrase is a phrase that literally ignites the fire of emotion that you give to the subconscious mind as you stand on that little stage. Because what you're doing is you're saying, you know, the group that made all this trouble, the group that you used to listen to, talking to the subconscious mind, the group that you used to listen to, the group that used to tell you to make all these terrible things, quiet it down now. And I'm working with my higher self, and my higher self and I have been talking, and we agree that this is the world we want to make. And so you speak to your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind needs a lot of repetition. How do we know that? Because when you were 16, you couldn't drive a car. And what happened? You started to practice and practice and practice. Over and over and over again, you practiced driving the car. By the time you were 18, you went on a long drive with a friend. And you got lost with your conscious mind in a long conversation with a friend. And you just lost track of time, didn't even know where you were. And suddenly you got to your destination. And you just like drove a long distance without even realizing how you did it. Well, how did you drive that long distance without using your conscious mind? Your subconscious mind drove the car. That's how it happened. Your subconscious mind drove the car. So that means we can teach the subconscious mind anything, but we have to repeat, just like driving the car. You had to repeat. So that's really what you're doing is you stand on that little stage and you say to the subconscious mind your little phrase, and you feel that phrase that makes you feel really, really good. So you're feeling, and the subconscious mind is picking up that energy again and again and again, day after day. You're feeling it and sending it to the subconscious mind, saying, this is the world I want. This is the world I want. And so that's really what needed to happen. All these years, that's what we always needed. We needed a way to stop being a pinball, to start to change the environment of our mind, and start to live in a place where we are the leader of minds, instead of being led around by the group. And the group, we couldn't find them. We didn't know where they were. We couldn't find them. They were like fairies darting everywhere. They could be anywhere at any time. We never knew where they were. Well, now, by looking at this little diagram, what we're doing is we're putting the group in a place. We put the group in the tent. And we put the group in the tent so we can go there every morning and calm them. Calm them. That's really what we need to do. We don't need to oppress them. We don't need to get mad at them. We don't need to punish them. There's no need for punishment. You know, that's one of the biggest questions I get about midlife crisis. When he finally comes out of it, does he know what he did? And really what we're doing is we're asking a Freddy question. We're asking a question of, like, does he know what he did to me? You know, will he repent from what he did to me? Is he going to be sorry for what he did to me? And the answer is, he doesn't do it to you. He doesn't do it to you. What? No. See, he's in the body. He's right there. He's cheating on me. Come on. What do you mean he didn't do it to me? He didn't do it to you. What does that mean? That means that this man is literally a character of your own mind. He's a character of your own mind. And so what is your mind? If this guy is not doing this to me, who's doing this to me? The group is doing everything that's happening. Every painful thing that's happening, everything that's out of your control is happening because of the group. The inner child, you'll read a story about the guy named Gil. And I walked Gil through a visit with the office visits. It's called the office visits. And there you actually go into your office and you meet with each of the characters of the group one at a time. And Gil did that. Gil was going through alcoholic blackouts. Alcoholic blackouts. That was what was happening to him. And why were alcoholic blackouts? Well, Gil interviews these members of the group and finds out why they made him do an alcoholic blackout. And so he finds out why. And when he finds out why, he realizes he wasn't making his life. The group was making his life. But because he wasn't the leader of minds, because he wasn't leading, the group, which are essentially children, if they don't have a leader, they can be very destructive. They can be destructive to your body, destructive to your money, destructive to your relationships, destructive to everything you care about. And if you don't become the leader of minds, and that's really the big idea here. The big idea is, I am the leader of minds, dot, dot, dot. This is what we're going to do. And what you're saying is, whatever I say you're going to do, that's what you're going to do. Because that's what these children need. They need guidance. They don't need to be hated. They don't need to be punished. They need guidance from a leader. And I'm laying this out to you because without this understanding of how the world is made not by some big God in the sky telling you what to do and making things happen, because that's not the way the world is built. The world is built by the mind. And it's the mind of man that makes the world. But man doesn't understand the mind. He doesn't understand what the mind, what is the mind? And until you find the group, you haven't found the mind. And until you found the group, you don't really know yourself. But once you find the group, you really know yourself. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to read the document that's in the handouts. If you look in the GoToWebinar app, you look at the things called handouts. That allows you to pull the document out of there and get it onto your phone or computer or whatever you're using. And once you read that, then on that understanding, I'm going to be answering the questions starting for our call tonight and then our call tomorrow morning. I intend to get through all the 20 questions I was given. I want to give you this because the midlife crisis is not a real world phenomenon. It's a mind phenomenon, a mind that makes the world phenomenon. That's what the midlife crisis is. You don't want to look at this is a real world with real separate people and everything's built on separation. This is not a real world. It's coming from one mind that makes one world and everything is connected. See, your mind is literally a fragment of the mind. Your mind is a fragment of the mind. And so you have the ability to say what you want and to tell the subconscious mind, this is the mind that makes the world. You have the ability to say to the subconscious mind, this is what I want. And I'm the leader of minds. And because I'm the leader of minds, I actually know how to calm the group down. I know how to secure them, and I know how to manage them day to day. And so the way we manage the group is we have a route. Every morning, it's like a little meditation time, is that we go from the town to the tent, calm the group, go to the higher self, say, show me the way, and then we go to the stand in front of the subconscious mind and say, this is the world we want. This is the world we want. And so this is the place where you start to feel, hey, the world is changing. So all the people that I work with, they're all learning this. There's two comments of people who have who did this when I was teaching this to them, and they gave me comments back right away. And in my course, I have this environment changer course, and I have never had anybody send me emails in response to something I was teaching. They don't really don't do that. They just basically listen and then they go away. When I started teaching about the group, all of a sudden people started having experiences. They started changing how they were feeling, and people in the world started to change. All kinds of situations that seemed to be locked and stuck started to become unstuck and began to flow and change. They started to see the world differently. It became an easier, kinder, nicer place to be. And the reason is because they finally became what they never were. They never were the leader of minds, ever. No one has ever used that phrase, I am the leader of minds. And the reason you're the leader of minds is because of all the five minds, you're the only one that can make a decision. You're the only one that can decide. The inner child can't decide. The mother can't decide. The father can't decide. And Freddie can't decide. They can't make decisions. But one thing they can do is they can create opinions. Millions and millions of opinions. And those opinions can be very forceful. And that's actually the way the group managed you. The group managed you by being invisible and by giving opinions over and over and over again. And what they would do is they would pummel you with opinions so severely that you would just go, All right. And you would give up and you would give in. And what you would do is you would literally give approval to the subconscious mind. Okay, make me the world the group wants. Make me the world the group wants. All right. Give me a world where my husband's in a midlife crisis. All right. Okay, whatever you think. And you gave up because they badgered you and pestered you, and finally you decided. But you're the only decision maker. That's why you are the leader of minds. Why are you the leader? Because you're some phenomenal, amazing? No. It's because you are the only one that can make a decision. And when you realize, I'm the only one that can make a decision, well, gee, I guess if I'm the only one that can make a decision, I must be the leader. I must be the leader of minds because I'm the only one that can decide. So once you finally start to get that into your head and heart, and you start realizing, I can make a decision and they can't. They make opinions, I make decisions. But I'm not going to let the group manage me anymore. I'm the leader of minds. I'm going to calm the group as my normal routine. And that's what this route is called. And you'll read about the route in the document called How to Group Manual. And so give that a read. And then I will be back at 6 o'clock tonight, U.S. Central Time, start to answer your questions, because you sent me 10 questions, several things in common, and you may not have not been able to read each other's questions, but I'm going to read them all over the next two calls. So the 6 o'clock call, and then and that's tonight, and then the 9 o'clock call. And all of this is being recorded, so we will be able to have this for to listen to all this later. Because I promise you 45 minutes. I'll be back at 6 o'clock. Talk to you tonight at 6. Thanks for attending. All right, bye-bye.